You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, that's not exactly true. We're not at the Lake Wissota studios today. We weren't there yesterday. We won't be there tomorrow. We're in Madison, Studio A2, along with Parker Olson, producing this fine radio program. And tomorrow we'll be on location in Oshkosh. It's where Brittany Merlot is. But we're not talking to her today. She's not talking to us. She's taken a couple of days to, after reporting from EAA for a few days, is now just going to take it all in and enjoy it. And we hope she's having a great time at the campground and seeing all the sights. And we look forward to hearing all about it come Monday. But coming up this hour, we are going to be talking about cryptocurrency from a state perspective. Because around the state, you're starting to see ATMs go up that are also crypto-friendly, I guess we could call it, where you could somehow, you know, put money toward whether it's Bitcoin or one of these other cryptocurrencies, to which I add parenthetically, whatever the heck they are, because I am not convinced that this isn't just some thing on par with, you know, the Dutch tulip bulbs of the 1600s or any other commodity. And that's the other question. Is crypto a commodity like wheat and corn and gold, or is it a security? Is it more like a stock and you can lose your investment in it? These are all questions that are still up in the air, but at least one thing a couple of legislators want to do is make sure that if some of these folks want to put ATMs up in Wisconsin that say you're putting your money toward crypto, that it's not a scam. And so we will hear directly from State Senator Kelda Royce and State Representative Ryan Spouty later this hour about crypto and, you know, what kind of guardrails state government can put on it. We'll talk to Camden Hargrove of the Wisconsin Public Education Network live from Green Bay. He's there for the Wisconsin Public Education Network annual summer summit, the get-together of educators and their allies. Todd Alba is up there as well and will be doing his show live from Green Bay Preble High School coming up this afternoon. Chris Hambuck Boyle, a friend of the show, must also be there as well because she texted us a photo of Lambeau Field where they had their welcome reception last evening. The note from Chris says, "We welcomed public education champions from across the state to kick off our 11th annual summer summit. Each year, the welcome reception shows off some local flair. How could we not?" Well, if you're doing local flair in Green Bay, that would be Lambeau Field. And Chris has sent to us, Parker, a very lovely picture from, if you may not have ever been to, basically it's like a little conference center inside of Lambeau Field. And there's an area there where you look out over the field from way up high. It's pretty cool.
It's so, this is one of the most beautiful pictures I think I've ever seen of Lambeau Field.
I mean,
I
would take it.
So, gorgeous.
Yeah. So hopefully everybody's having a good time there at Preble High School after that nice reception yesterday. We will also be checking in with Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau, our civic media station up there. That's in our next hour, as well as Joe Zepecki. We'll be talking about a Democratic state senator who's circulating a petition saying that the Democratic gubernatorial nominee next year, whether it's Tony Evers or somebody else, needs to commit to a series of promises kind of on par with the contract on America that, you know, Newt Gingrich had back in the day. But this one more productive. This one actually, you know, for the middle class. This one, something that's actually attainable. But is it too much to ask for? Are some of these things painting potential candidates into a corner? We'll talk to Joe a little bit about that. We'll talk to Sean O'Malley about your money in the markets, all that yet ahead here on these mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's check over on the mailbag here because I'm sure that Rob from Tigerton has checked in as well. Sure enough, on YouTube, he writes, "Good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 70 degrees. Tigerton picked up 1.1 inches of rain from yesterday's storm. There was tree damage. There were power lines down in the Rosholt and Iola areas. I also saw some photos of damage north of Bloomer in Chippewa County. Rob goes on to tell us there was a funnel cloud along Highway 45 south of Clintonville, a tornado in the Gillette area in Oconee County, and with it being so humid yesterday, it had that feel like it was going to storm. He said coming home from Shawano, the sky to the west was very dark from the tornado warning out in Marathon County. He writes, I think the meteorologists in the Wausau and Green Bay markets did an excellent job with their tornado and severe weather coverage, an excellent job of keeping people up to date. And we are always extremely thankful for the meteorologists who are working their hearts out in severe weather. Now, to an earlier subject, and that was about concert T-shirts. Tony writes on YouTube, I have heard that you shouldn't wear a band's shirt at their concert. He says, I was told that as I was wearing a band's shirt while at the concert. So there, we got one other person who claims that that's a thing. I don't know if this is really a thing or if just people think it's a thing and so they parrot it.
I just need to hear the reasoning for it. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't see a reason not to.
No, I like your Packer analogy.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't wear a Packer jersey to the game? Let's see. Tony also chimed in on the Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band movie. Not the album, the movie in the mid-70s. And you said, maybe you just need to watch a good, bad movie. And Tony said, I tried watching it a week or two ago, and I just hated it. This is not a good, bad movie, he writes. Just bad.
That's bad. All right.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you for saving me an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just about finished here with my Quick Trip coffee over here, my Cafe Coruba, which I never have. It's only when I'm on the road because, I mean, this thing is basically, it's a big old cup of sugar, some water. You know, you're over there drinking water. So healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Out of your
nothing but water here. And you know what? It is so hot. I am flying through this water bottle today.
Well, good. You're properly hydrated.
Yeah.
We preach that all the time here. That's great. But it does get me to wondering because I've seen the coffee maker in my hotel room.
Yeah.
Don't trust it.
No? is it scary looking?
Well, it has a look at 4 in the morning when you're making it, and if something goes wrong, I mean, what are you going to do? It's 4 in the morning. You're stuck, and you got this mess to clean up or whatever.
Yeah.
So then there's the lobby coffee. And again, this is pretty much any hotel. And, most of the time that tastes rather burnt or whatever. There's gas station coffee of varying degrees. And so that's the question that I wanted to ask folks is either hotels or gas stations or both, something else like that, when you're on the road, is there a place that was surprisingly good in the coffee department? You were at maybe you like staying at Holiday Inn Expresses and you happen to think that coffee is particularly good or bad. I want to hear about both.
I want to hear the bad.
And the same goes for the gas station stuff and not just Quick Trip but other chains out there. Is there anything that is particularly good, bad, noteworthy, funny? Because sometimes I imagine that, sometimes at these places you have very young employees. I imagine one Parker Olson who is not a coffee drinker. And if you're not trained properly, you're like, how many scoops of coffee are you supposed to put in this thing? 12 will do. And it should actually be 2.
I'm sure that's right.
Yes. So would love to know in the comment sections on Facebook or YouTube if you watch the show there for Up North News or Civic Media, or you can use the Civic Media app to send us a text and let us know more what you think about either coffee at the gas station, coffee at the hotels, just being on the road overall. Yesterday I had a sausage McMuffin coming into work because I, usually make my own breakfast, but hit the drive-thru. And then during our little host retreat yesterday, they brought in Ian's Pizza. A Madison institution.
Yes.
So we had the mac and cheese pizza and the pepperoni and sausage.
That looked good.
And then, of course, the whole crew went out to dinner on State Street, after that, or on Capitol Square. Get your cheese curds and some other things. yeah, I should be fasting today. But of course, no, I've got this big old cup of sugar, you know, from the gas station.
There's nothing wrong with that, Pat.
No.
You need what you need.
Well, again, we're on the road this week. And so the diet is just a little bit, it just hits a little bit different.
Yeah. That's okay. You know, I'm fine with that. I would love to go somewhere on State Street just for food.
There are plenty of good options, although fewer than the last time. Madison's one of those places that is just always changing, and I noticed that, like, Tudo Pasta is gone. I used to like that. What is it, Short Stack, the breakfast place?
Oh, yeah.
That's now gone, but there are a couple of new places there that have come in since I was last around. So, I mean, State Street in Madison is definitely one of those places where if you can't find something you like, come on back next week. Because there's definitely some turnover in there. Let's see. There's also from Tony, I want Todd's take on coffee because he is an aficionado. Oh, yes.
For how much he's on the road, yeah.
Yes, and he does love his Wonder State coffee. He's all the time talking about that as well. The Brewers were big winners yesterday, which is kind of bittersweet given that, you know, that would have then been 13 wins in a row. But instead, it's 12 out of the past 13 because Bryce Durang drove in 3 runs on 3 hits. The Brewers had 17 hits overall in a 10-2 rout of the Seattle Mariners to take 2 out of 3. Quinn Priester went 7 innings, allowed 2 runs on 6 hits with 6 strikeouts. And I think that Roger up in Stevens Point, we were talking about, he put a comment up on Facebook. In Quinn Priester's last 11 starts, he has won 8 decisions, an ERA of 2.42, let's see, and 61 strikeouts compared to 12 walks. Those are some pretty good numbers there. Thank you, Roger.
Very good. My goodness.
Yeah. So, but we've been talking about how the Brewers are doing all this with names that are not household, shall we say.
No.
You know, those of us who like to follow the team are still learning who some of these guys are.
You do get a name like once every 2 weeks or so that you go, what? Who? And, Isaac Collins?
And yet, you know, and yet they're getting it done. They are off today. The Brewers will head home to take on the Miami Marlins.
Attaboy.
Pat. Coverage begins. It's an afternoon game tomorrow on a Friday. Kind of rare here. So coverage begins the pregame at 2:35. On stations in Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Richland Center, Park Falls, and, of course, Hayward. And tomorrow, even though the show is on the road, we will still do Free Ticket Friday, where you can win 4 tickets. And I'm going to tell you right now, we already know which game it is. And I'm telling you this just to get you excited for it. It's the Brewers-Cubs series. And tomorrow on Free Ticket Friday, we're giving out 4 tickets to see the Brewers-Cubs game Wednesday afternoon. Daytime baseball against the Cubs at American Family Field. You're going to want to get the Civic Media app if you haven't already. Get that downloaded where you pull up a station, you text us the keyword. I'm not giving you the keyword now. That's the whole purpose of Free Ticket Friday. Yeah.
So got to listen.
Tomorrow, we'll give you the keyword, and then throughout the course of the show, you text us that word, and then on some of the other shows, all of the other shows, you'll get an opportunity to text in a keyword as well. And in that entire statewide drawing, somebody's going to get pulled and win 4 tickets to next Wednesday afternoon's Brewers-Cubs game. It could be you. So if you can go, if you can get some tickets sent to you over your phone and use them, then keep that in mind for tomorrow for Free Ticket Friday. A local update is next for some of you, and for others, we'll be back in 15 minutes and talking about cryptocurrency with 2 legislators. Live on the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's 7:22 the time now. I'm Pat Kreitlow. We are here in Madison Studio A2 at the top of State Street, right off the Capitol Square here in the Capitol City for a little Civic Media gathering, and then tomorrow on the road again, we'll be reporting from Oshkosh before we head back up north. But let's talk a little bit about one of the legislators from up north, State Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire. He was on recently and has a column, an opinion column, in the Cap Times newspaper talking about how supporting our veterans shouldn't just be a talking point. And we are talking about the zeroing out of help for homeless veterans. And he speaks specifically of Klein Hall in Chippewa Falls, which since 2007 has been a safe haven for homeless veterans, where those who served our country have a chance to rebuild their lives with dignity and purpose. Senator Smith writes, it offers more than just shelter. It promotes the tools that veterans need to get back on their feet, like job training, counseling, and stability. But at the moment, Smith writes, several dozen veterans currently living at Klein Hall could be out on the street by September 30th. Each of them wore the uniform, they served with honor, and trusted that we'd keep up our end of the deal if they needed help when they got back home. To that end, Governor Evers asked for nearly $2 million in his budget proposal to keep Klein Hall and the Green Bay Veterans Facility open. That funding was stripped out of the Joint Finance Committee, controlled by Republicans, so Smith mentions offering an amendment to restore it on the Senate floor, but it was voted down. All but one Republican state senator voted against the amendment. So now Smith is co-authoring a standalone bill to fund the program and keep the facilities open. He says this is not a time for finger pointing now. We've got to get the job done. He says if Republicans don't want to sign on to the bill that I introduced, then so be it. But don't stand by and do nothing while these brave veterans are asked to relocate to Union Grove on the other side of the state. He says supporting our veterans shouldn't be a talking point. It should be a promise we honor. Let's show the people of Wisconsin what it really means to put our money where our mouth is when it comes to supporting those that we have served. Again, that's State Senator Jeff Smith from Eau Claire County, the Senate Democratic Assistant Leader, talking about Republicans zeroing out funding for homeless veterans. In a somewhat similar vein, Governor Evers is knocking the Trump administration for cuts to the U.S. Forest Service, saying that those cuts are going to be devastating for states like Wisconsin. Evers wrote a letter Monday to the U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins and said the state was going to expect less funding from the Urban and Community Forestry Grant programs, presumably to cover the cost of terminating some dedicated federal workers. Evers writes, it is untenable to expect Wisconsinites to take on the additional workload caused by cuts to the federal workforce while also gutting the investments necessary to support that effort. Using the very funds that are being eliminated to compensate for the workforce reduction undermines the trust and commitment that this important work requires. And Evers goes on to say much more, but the folks at WisPolitics report that there is a state senator from the Rice Lake area, Romaine Quinn, Republican chair of the Committee on Insurance, Housing, Rural Affairs, and Forestry. Romaine Quinn said that the reductions, quote, don't warrant the hysteria being drummed up by Governor Evers and opponents of President Trump. God forbid somebody tries to trim a little spending from the federal government that is incapable of living within its means, Quinn said. And there, once again, we get at the crux of the differences between the parties and those who are focused on service and then finding ways to fund that service and those who are simply looking for ways to save a buck for the purposes of saving a buck, but not really for the purposes of saving a buck, because that buck that's not going to be used for the Forest Service is going to go to tax cuts for the very wealthy, where we hope that they just trickle down. It seems like the chair of a legislative committee committed to forestry should perhaps maybe defend Wisconsin's forests in a ways that isn't just reliant upon, well, my party wants budget cuts, and so who cares what the consequences are? If you've got a better plan, happy to hear it, but it sounds like the plan is simply do less. and let's get those tax dollars over to the rich, and maybe they'll build us a new forest if they can be bothered not to invest in another yacht instead or something like that. So in much the same way, the last hour we talked about, there's a difference between the parties. There's one that wants to, Democrats want to make it just a little bit harder for state legislators to use your tax dollars to use outside counsel to represent them when they're doing things like, trying to gerrymander maps. And another party, the Republicans, well, their latest bill they've introduced would be to increase the penalties for vandalism and graffiti on statues and monuments. Again, it's feel-good legislation, but it doesn't do anything to stop the abuse of, things like gerrymandered maps and racking up big legal bills to defend the gerrymandered maps and the lame duck laws and the other things that one political party has been doing recklessly in this state for a number of years. I'd much rather side with the people that are looking out for our homeless veterans, not forgetting to fund them, making sure that our forests are healthy and sustainable and economically productive. And also, instead of the party whose president has now made over $1 billion off cryptocurrency in one of the great corruption scandals of our lifetime that is going unreported, I'd rather go with the folks that are trying to make sure that cryptocurrency isn't something that can scam us, even at a place like an ATM when we go to the gas station. And we're going to talk about that with two state legislators coming up right after the Midwest Farm Report. Live from Madison today, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming up tomorrow on the program, I'll be in Oshkosh. We'll be hearing from Gordon Hintz, the Winnebago County Executive. We'll also be talking to a provost from the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh about happenings there, along with our Week in Review panel, which includes former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and journalists Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. All that and much more. Oh, also State Representative Lee Snodgrass from the Appleton area will be joining us, and Mike Clemens with a look at weekend sports. A very busy day tomorrow from Oshkosh on these mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News and right here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where today we're in Madison, where Parker Olson produces what we do, and Parker's not a coffee drinker.
That but I am not.
Parker pointed me toward the coffee pot here because my original gas station coffee is gone. So I thought, I see a coffee pot there. I will fill it up.
Yeah.
There's one of those little single serving Keurig cup thingies.
Sure. Okay.
And there's a coffee pot.
Yeah.
I filled it up from the coffee pot.
Okay.
Put in a little bit of cream and sugar.
There you go.
Raised it to my lips. It is ice cold.
Well.
I mean.
Yeah.
Is it like yesterday's coffee?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Is it decaf that's next? You have to use the single serve? I do not know if this has any benefit whatsoever. Certainly not in terms of heat.
Well, here's the thing.
Maybe not caffeine.
It may have shocked you enough that you're more awake now.
Oh, I'm more awake now, yes.
See, it did the job. It did the job.
It did this job without having to ingest a thing.
Poor guy.
Yeah, I know. First world problems. But here's a problem I don't have. I am unburdened by immense knowledge in cryptocurrency. I have a healthy dose of skepticism at this point, which does not mean I'm writing it off entirely. I'm completely admitting I will need to learn more. What I've learned is that cryptocurrency involves, a whole lot of data processing, which means a whole lot of electricity and everything that comes from it, and that the regulatory framework around it is, shall we say, still a work in progress. Now, that doesn't mean you can't do anything about it. Some folks in Washington said they were doing something about it last week. It was allegedly crypto week, and Congressman Brian Stile talked all about passing some kind of stablecoin legislation that he said was going to put a regulatory framework around cryptocurrency. A lot of Democrats disagreed and saw it as more of a sweetheart deal. I am again here to tell you that I can't say with authority that it is more one way or the other. I can say this as a former legislator. There is a role for legislatures to play at the state level to protect consumers and perhaps financial institutions, small businesses, the economy. Somebody should be thinking about these things. I have found two people who are thinking about these things. There's State Senator Kel DeRoyes and there is State Representative Ryan Spouty. And welcome to you both. I hope your coffee is hot and I thank you for being here with us this morning.
Good morning, Pat. I'm sorry to say I actually do like iced coffee.
Well, I like iced coffee when I know it's coming. I wasn't expecting it. Kelda, these are weighty issues that we're about to discuss, but I've got to get the fun stuff out of the way here first, because Trygve Olsen was filling in for Todd Alba yesterday, and Tony up in Ashland was listening, and he asked this question on YouTube. Did you know Kelda wrote musicals? Found that out yesterday from Trygve Olsen. How do you plead?
Well, guilty, but not any complete musical. So
oh, okay.
You're never going to find anything in like the Library of Congress. But yeah, I was a theater major in college, and actually my best friend from college is a musical theater composer, and he's very successful. So it's really fun to see, you know, the early things that we did together go in the garbage, but he's actually very successful.
Kelda, I will feel much better now when you write Wisconsin Legislature the musical. I just feel like you've already got some verses in your head that will make, Book of Mormon look like child's play by the time you are done. I hope that this happens. So tuck that away for future reference. All right, now let's cover the matter at hand here. And Kelda, while you've got the floor, we'll start with you. What is the bill that you and Representative Spouty are working on from a state level when it comes to crypto, and especially as we see them on these ATM machines that are popping up around the state?
So this is basically a consumer protection bill. We know that Wisconsinites want to experiment and learn about these new kinds of technologies, including cryptocurrency. But unfortunately, what's happening right now with these crypto kiosks being totally unregulated is that people are being scammed and they're being used to facilitate criminal activity. So massive fraud. And stories are really, really heartbreaking. People just losing their life savings in an instant. So this is a bill to basically put a framework, create some guardrails so that people can safely use cryptocurrency kiosks, and so that there's some accountability and law enforcement can actually go after these criminals, which right now it's almost impossible for them to do.
And Representative, won't you help fill in some more, tell us more about the bill and your involvement in it?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Pat. Good to see you, Kelda, as always. Senator Roys and I teamed up on this. Former prosecutor. I was a drunk driving prosecutor, actually. That was my primary focus. But as we're all well aware, there are many crimes against people's property that aren't tangible, that you can't actually see. And crypto is the Wild West still. There's still a lot of unregulated areas of that, we'll call it enterprise. And what we're doing is we are stepping up at the state level and we are saying, hey, we need to have some rules. We need to have some ground game rules that everyone is expected to follow. And the goal, we want to encourage entrepreneurship and the development of new technology, but we also need to be serious. There are many cases, both here in Wisconsin and across the country, of folks, frequently they're seniors, who are being defrauded. They are losing just an incredible amount of money, as Senator Roys mentioned, like that. We need to have some good government, some very basic regulations in place to make sure that people are not cheated and scammed out of their livelihoods. And that is what this bill aims to accomplish.
Senator, can we then get into a little bit more specifics, either if not what the bill does or maybe what it's trying to prevent? Are there examples of scams or crimes that have been seen elsewhere that we don't want to see happen here?
Absolutely. And they're already happening here, to be clear. A lot of scams basically tell you to go put money in this kiosk because you're going to buy something from overseas, or they're used for, criminals use them to transfer proceeds of their ill-gotten activities. We've also seen a startling rise in the number of love bombing, sort of catfishing schemes, where really targeting people who are isolated and, you know, feeling sad and lonely, and they meet somebody on the internet who, you know, tells them that they love them and kind of carpet bombs them with affection, and then has a need for money for some family member surgery or something like that. And before the person realizes it's a scam, their money is gone. So we worked with the Department of Financial Institutions on this bill. They have just promulgated some regulations, but they are really excited to update our statutes. Right now, if you transfer money using your credit union or an online service like PayPal or Venmo, it's regulated. So this bill basically turns crypto kiosk operators into regulated money transferers, meaning they have to obey the same rules and have the same protections as your bank. You have to verify the identity of the people who are using this. And this is important for law enforcement. If there is an allegation of a crime, that they can go back and say, well, here's this person's ID, here's what they presented us, and here's the name they gave us. There's a daily limit so that you could only withdraw, or you could only use up to $1,000. This is really important because if somebody, you know, is asking for $40,000, you could lose that in a day right now. There's also the ability to get a refund from the crypto operator if within 30 days you have reported to law enforcement and reported to the kiosk operator that you were scammed. And that's really, really important because right now there's functionally no way for people who have been victimized to get their money back.
Can you talk, Representative Spouty, a bit about just the volatility of crypto? I worry, at the risk of getting too far in the weeds here, but that somebody may have thought they were investing so much, or you know, spending so much on this, they do feel like they were scammed. They want to get something back, and the response to them is, well, now it's only worth, you know, this much. And again, I mean, who knows? You're basically looking to see that, you know, dollar for dollar, if somebody gets scammed, they're going to recover the money that they thought they were putting toward what turned out to be a fraudulent transaction. Is that about right?
Yes, that is correct. I'm not, I don't own any Spouty coin. I don't, I'm not in that market personally, but the whole purpose of this bill, the goal of this bill is when we have these regulations, these licensure requirements, these know your customer requirements, warnings on a crypto kiosk. You can see these in, they're sprouting up all over in malls and in convenience stores, gas stations, warnings. That's another important part of this bill. The goal is to have the number of cases where people, as we are seeing, like I said, across the country, including here in Wisconsin, we want the number of those cases from the get-go to go down. We don't want to have folks in a situation where they are seeking a refund because they've been defrauded. So again, kind of setting aside the whole, what's it like to be in that market? If you play by the rules and you want to do crypto, good on you, go for it. We are setting these regulations in place so that way we do not have as many instances of criminals using a lack of regulation to defraud people of incredible amounts of money.
It would be nice if this were a nonpartisan, non-political issue. Tony puts up on YouTube, who could possibly be against this bill? Well, I'm sorry to put some politics into us, but I have a feeling that maybe a certain White House occupant who has made more than $1 billion with his own cryptocurrency, which seems an awful lot like a shell game to me, might be it. And so, Kelda, when we see what Congress was working on last week, and we know that, you know, Wisconsin Congressman Brian Steil was one of those leading the charge on this, how confident do you feel that what Congress and the Trump administration are doing will be helpful to you as state legislators, or an impediment?
Well, I'm very concerned that this absolutely corrupt regime in Washington is going to try to crack down on states' ability to protect consumers. You know, we have never seen a president monetize being in the White House the way that this president has. And one of the ways that he's doing that is with crypto schemes. And, you know, any type of financial asset that you might have, whether it's cash in the bank, whether it's, you know, jewelry or gold or stocks, bonds, real estate, there there are regulatory guardrails in place. Even if you're in, you know, more speculative markets like early stage investing or hedge funds, private equity, there are still rules in place and there are regulatory regimes that have to be followed. And crypto really is the Wild West. And that is why it is the, you know, the gambling of choice, the asset of choice for criminals and fraudsters. And, you know, the idea that we should just sit by as people are scammed, I think is outrageous, right? I mean, what is government for if we're not going to stop crime and keep people safe?
And that's where when Congressman Stiles says we want to spur innovation, development, and growth in crypto, again, the sense I get from you and others is saying, okay, in the point where it's legal and does not become the Wild West. And so I'm very thankful to see state-based legislation like this. Senator Kelda Royce of Madison, Representative Ryan Spouty of Ashwaubenon, thank you very much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Good to be with you.
All right. Have a wonderful day. A local update is next for some of you. And then in our next hour, Chad Holmes, Sean O'Malley, Joe Zepecki on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Remember, you can sign up for our Up North News newsletters, our one on the weekdays, our Sunday morning one with a focus on Wisconsin politics, upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe up in the top banner. Our Sunday morning one includes a question of the week with a candidate for governor for next year already running ads. What does that do? Are you impressed by that? Do you understand it's how you have to build name ID? Or is it a turnoff and you might be less inclined to vote for this person for spending money on TV ads this early? That's part of our Sunday morning newsletter. Sign up again at upnorthnewswi.com. Well, we normally in our homeroom segment on Wednesday mornings at 7:30 talk about public education, but public education's, I don't know if you'd call it Super Bowl or maybe their Daytona 500, whatever it is happening in Green Bay today up at Preble High School. And Camden Hargrove from the Wisconsin Public Education Network joins us to talk all about today's Summer Summit 2025. Camden, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
That's wonderful to have you here. You're working with some great people with the network. Todd Alba, yes, being one of them. He'll be doing his radio show live from the Summer Summit coming up this afternoon from 2 until 4. But let's start with the general overview. This is the 11th annual Summer Summit. But let's describe to folks more or less what the Summer Summit is that you hold and what you're holding there in Green Bay today.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's the 11th annual Summer Summit. So this is starting to become a great tradition that we have. And we're at Preble High School today. And we are coming together to talk about where we are, the state of education right now, and where we are post state budget, where they absolutely took away the needs that children have, right? They did not give nearly enough money to help special education. They are only planning to fund 45% and 47%, and that is just not acceptable, especially when they're willing to give $30 million to vouchers. We know that our kids are the most important thing. And so we're here to come together, realize that we do have each other and that there is strength in all of us being here together and learning, as well as then being able to teach people and grow and have workshops and sessions where people can learn about how to fight back against these vouchers, where people can learn about referendums and what goes into them, where we can talk about how to be allies to LGBTQ youth. And really just grow together.
And the theme is building community through thriving public schools. It is definitely something we've talked about with network folks before. Just talking about the deep connection between public schools and their communities, and that when public schools are harmed, the community is harmed overall. So I'm sure more people will be talking today about drawing that line between public schools and the health of our communities.
Yeah. And we're going to have over 100 people here today here to listen to that message and bring that back to their communities. And so this isn't just going to help and impact the Green Bay School District. We have people from all around the state coming. And when we learn from each other, we can grow and build our communities. And that's what is necessary right now. We are going to be the people that do the work. No one is going to come to save us. No one is going to come to bail us out of this. It is our job. We are here. We have to do the work. So that is why we're coming together. That is why we're uniting the community. And we're learning, we're growing, we're teaching, and we're working together.
There are several breakout sessions. There is, as always, a School Finance 101 to explain the state's convoluted school funding process. There is community engagement for public schools through referendum efforts. That will include Lori Blakesley, who's been on the show before, from the Green Bay Area Public Schools, Colleen Nowak from DePere, Emily Pritzkow from the Wisconsin Building Trades Council, somebody that we've talked to before. There will also be sessions on supporting new teachers, transformational community schools that give success to all. There's also a wellness workshop for organizers, building resiliency, because let's face it, being an advocate for public schools is it's a draining gig these days. It's full time. You got to learn to take care of yourself along the way.
Yeah, burnout is real. And like I said, all of us need to come together, right? Well, you know, that can get exhausting if we just keep burning. And so it's important to learn how to have self-care, how to find what helps us thrive so we can make sure that we embrace that and work on that so we have enough of ourselves to give and enough energy to keep doing this life.
There will also be supporting public schools in an age of disinformation with Christina Bry from the Wisconsin Education Association Council. There will be a session called Getting Ready to Run. Some educators are thinking about being candidates next year. And former legislator Christina Sanher, the executive director of Wisconsin Progress, along with training director Becky Rasmussen, will be putting on that seminar as well. And then you had that reception at Lambeau Field last evening, so that had to be a really nice way to, pun intended, kick things off.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great pun. I will bring it back real quick to what you're talking about running, because it lines right into what I was saying about it being about us, right? And the people that run for school board, these are the people in our community, right? These are previous teachers. These are people that care about our kids. Mm-hmm. And learning how to get into that and run is very key.
One of many topics to be covered at the Summer Summit. Camden Hargrove covering it for the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Camden, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. You too.
All right. We've got a lot ahead coming up in the third hour of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.